Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cold Hard Truth Podcast. I'm Jack Smith.
I'm Shrikar Rajendran.
And I'm Anish Gupta.
And you guys just missed like once every month. These two just can't stop laughing during the intro. Mostly Anish.
It's mostly me.
He just can't stop laughing. Like, no matter what, I'm just talking about something random, saying the intro, and he'll just crack up laughing.
That wasn't anything random. Like,
he's the one that we're on a schedule for, and he just can't stop laughing. But anyways, welcome back to the episode, everybody. It was an interesting week of football. I don't want to say boring, because, you know, we appreciate all the games and everything like that. But last week was a little bit of a letdown, to be honest, like a lot of blowout games. But anyways, for you guys, how was your football weekend? Any specific games you want to talk about as we kind of open up this episode? What's on your mind?
Definitely a sharp contrast to the week before. We go from a bunch of intense endings to just straight up blowouts. I had a bye week because, I mean, the Niners weren't playing, so I'm saying I, but Niners had a bye week. So I was just pretty much just relaxing, just eating food, watching football. It was a very relaxing week. Just did some homework, was productive. Yeah, I don't have much to share about my football week other than the fact that, you know, I got to chill for once without having to worry about the Niners.
Yeah, I mean, there's ups and downs. I finally hit a parlay. I hit a three team. I won $84 on it. So
really, how much did you put down?
I put $9 down. It was all plus. Whoa. So it was all plus odds. It was Derek Carr and Teddy Bridgewater had to combine for two. Each had to have two passing touchdowns. Mac Jones and Dak had to have two passing touchdowns, and Josh Allen and Tannehill had to combine for like 450 yards and like three touchdowns or something like that. So yeah, it all worked out. I don't know why the odds were so favorable. I was like, all right,
I'll take those. Surprised.
No, that hit, and then
that's a bag.
What else? The Browns really, really, really are making me sad. I have spent every day just looking at the injury list and been like, dude, we're literally at a host. Like it feels like Shrikar in 2020, except we had way more potential than the
and
Niners
me in
did.
2018.
Yeah, except we have more potential than they did last
year. You had more potential than the team that just came off a Super Bowl loss.
Yes, because the NFC was way more loaded than it was in 2019, and also the Browns were coming off not a Super Bowl, but I think
a divisional loss to Mahomes.
I think they had more potential than the 2020 Niners did, but that's okay. Let's be on the point. That one sucked. James Hudson might be the worst football player I have ever watched in my entire life. I think I sent some of these guys the clips. If you just watch him try and block, like J.J. Watt or just
James
Hassan Reddick, this dude didn't even know who to block. It was just terrible.
He was
gonna rant because it's like,
funny enough, Hassan Reddick isn't even actually on the Cardinals anymore.
Or not Hassan. Who is the guy? Oh, Marcus Golden. That guy. Sorry, Golden. Not Hassan Reddick. They were the same number. My bad. But yeah, so that was rough. And what else? Oh, Darnold lost. Always bet against Darnold, everybody. It worked for me. It'll work for you too.
Do it this week.
he only lost because he didn't get the ball in overtime.
No, he only lost because he was terrible for the first three quarters. Yes, he finished fine.
Yeah, Darnold's...
But, you know, just always bet against Darnold. Just go listen to me. That's why I won the week. But yeah, always bet against Darnold.
Good. I want to say it like a wise co-host I had.
Oh, and Carson Wentz is back.
God.
He's back. Just watch some of the highlights.
He
played the Texans.
He's back. I don't care. He's back. That's
Sam Darnold looked good against the Texans. So isn't by like your transitive property, it doesn't really matter how Carson Wentz did.
He's back. I don't hear. I'm blocking out all the haters. He's back. I'm just saying. He's back.
Well, there's your daily dose of Carson Wentz talk. That will be the end of it on today's podcast episode. Where'd you do the parlay at?
Bovada.
Okay. Yeah. That's honestly that.
I don't know if I'm allowed to promote it. I don't like it. It is technically a legal site, like or a legal site, but it like doesn't ask for your stuff. So like you can get it and like.
Hey, yeah. Well, you know, if one of you like 40,
I don't condone
happen to be betting. An FBI agent. Don't come knocking down our doors.
Cold Hard Truth is not.
But like honestly, if you had told me like what you were laying down last week, I wouldn't have thought that was like out of the blue. Like I would have said that was probably gonna happen. It seems like an easy bet.
Yeah. Mm. I got lucky with the Mac Jones one because remember the touchdown at the end?
Yeah.
Kendrick Bourne.
I wasn't even paying attention. I was like, wait a minute. Oh shoot.
Because it came right after the pick six too.
Yeah.
That
That was crazy. And Trevon Diggs has been on a mission. Holy crap. But
up and down.
But Trevon Diggs is basically Marcus Peters on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, or the Jameis Winston of corners. I saw that. I was like, not a bad comp.
But honestly, like what he's did all or on that touchdown, that wasn't his fault, actually. Like his
miscommunication by the safety.
Yeah. Or just a bad play by the safety. But
anyways.
Thank you guys for tuning into the episode. We're happy to get into our takeaways starting soon. Before we get into it, though, if you're on YouTube, please consider going down, hitting the subscribe button, the like button, and leaving a comment, letting us know how your football weekend was, your football Sunday or Saturday, I guess, or Monday or Thursday in that case. And also, if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please consider downloading the episode, following the show, marking it as played, and all of that stuff. But my first takeaway, and the takeaway that I chose to kind of go over this week, was that the Dolphins' window of contention is not open like we thought it was coming into the season. And in fact, I think they might even need to like double down on their rebuild, because first of all, they've just been really bad this season. And I know there's like extenuating circumstances that you can mention, like they, you know, had to play a couple games without Tua. They've played some tough opponents, but to be honest, they're not a team that's supposed to be 1-5. And I think anyone would have said that coming in the season, even if they lost Tua for a couple games, this defense, the coaching staff, the weapons, they're supposed to be better than a 1-5 team. And a lot of the blame I feel can fall on the offensive line, something that is really telling of a team's rebuild. Like if you can't successfully rebuild the offensive line while you're rebuilding your team, it kind of doesn't matter. And I believe my argument, like you could probably argue that the Dolphins offensive line has gotten worse the last couple of years, which is super surprising considering the talented players that they've tried to bring in on the offensive line. And so all of those issues added up with the fact that they just haven't been hitting on their draft picks. Like you can compile them all you want, but unless you draft good players, players that work for your scheme, it kind of doesn't matter. And I put out a tweet responding to one of our Cold Hard Truth tweets. Go follow our Twitter down in the description as well. Saying that the Dolphins 2020 draft class is looking awful right now. Of course, there's the rumors recently that they might be trying to move off to a Tagovailoa for someone like Deshaun Watson. We can get into that if we want. But if that's the case, I mean, you trade away Tua. Austin Jackson has looked really bad on the offensive line, which sucks because I had high hopes for him. Noah Igbinoghene hasn't done anything really. He's just a non-factor. And you go down the list and it's a lot more second, third, fourth, fifth round picks that just aren't producing at all. And some that are officially just like letting down the Dolphins. And so they've done this great job. We've applauded them for getting all these draft picks in return for their players and taking stabs at players in the draft, but it really hasn't been working out. And as much as I, you know, had thought the Dolphins were a good team and you know, had a really bright future, I'm kind of dialing back on that. I'm not sure how much I can say that anymore.
I kind of feel bad for Tua Tagovailoa in the sense that the media has always just put him, you know, in these trade rumors. So it's like every game he's basically fighting to save his job, and he's always under this pressure. He doesn't feel secure in Miami. I mean, that's basically it. But the offensive line, I agree, it's definitely gotten worse over the years. Austin Jackson was a miss, even though he was raw coming out of college. Noah Igbinoghene's done absolutely nothing, as you said. I don't know. The Eagles have the Dolphins pick this year, but the Dolphins are basically relying on the Niners to be as bad as possible because they have their pick. So I guess that whole trade with Trey Lance and then moving up to six again, I don't know if they're winners or losers of that trade just yet. Right now, I'd kind of side with losers. It kind of depends on how Trey Lance does, but it also, it's like Jalen Waddle is not bad. He's not bad, but I don't think he's as good as we all thought he would be in that sense. And I don't know. It's not even due to Jalen Waddle. It's just because he's not getting the ball as much as I thought he would, but I still think he can be a great deep threat for them. But overall, I do think the Dolphins need to rebuild here. And whether that means, you know, Flores is gone, I think he's on the hot seat. I don't know. Greer could be gone, but it's really confusing situation with Miami where they may have to hit reset, even though they're in the middle of a rebuild already.
Ironic, because again, we all know, like, or at least you guys remember how high I was on Miami last year. This year, I didn't really make a take on Miami. I didn't talk about them as much. But I didn't expect this. I don't think anyone really did.
No one did.
But obviously, like, I didn't think that they would be able to kind of project themselves as far up, because they're just better teams in the AFC. No matter how, like, even if you steadfast what they were able to do, I think that was kind of the consensus around everybody. I feel like everyone thought they would kind of break into the playoffs, but they wouldn't really do much. But I mean, this is just obviously unexpected. But again, Shrigar, for example, Jalen Waddle, he does get a lot of targets. Like, he got 13 third week, and then he got, I believe, 12 last week. So he does get volume, and he's
maybe I'm wrong there.
Threat.
Yeah, I want to say he leads rookies in catches, actually.
Yeah, exactly. So he's been getting a lot of volume, and he also, what do you call it, has been used very much in the short passing game. Like, he had 12 catches for 58 yards one game, and then he had 9 catches for 70 and 2 touchdowns last week. So he's been used pretty good. I think he's going to be a hit. You just need Will Fuller and Devontae Parker healthy. But I'm glad we're doing like a Dolphin centric thing, because, you know, media doesn't talk about the Dolphins as a team, but you're right, Shrikar. I will say you hit on the Tua take. Cause it's like, you know, Tua's not bad. Like, again, I also defended him a lot last year. It's just the fact that there's an alternative out there that the media is spinning, right? Deshaun Watson will forever be better than Tua Tagovailoa. I don't think Tua's peak will be Deshaun Watson. So the fact that this alternative is out there, media is going to keep spinning it because the Dolphins have the assets to do it. And everyone knows that if you can upgrade for someone, a quarterback like that, 25 years old, under contract, right, in his prime, available, then everyone's going to spin it that way to say the Dolphins should get rid of Tua for him. So I think that's the whole Tua situation, because Tua's not like horrendously bad. I thought he had a pretty good game against Jacksonville, but, you know, he's not going to, again, we haven't seen anything to where he can elevate your team to win. And that's something you would expect from a top five pick. And then for the coaching staff, I disagree. I don't think any of them should be on the hot seat, considering what Flores has been able to do so far. Sure, one bad year. I feel like, you know, the NFL, we kind of, you know, like, move off of people too quickly sometimes. And I think Flores, if you move off of him, that would be a mistake. I think, you know, you got to give this team some time. You're right. Igbinoghene is just awful, or however you say his name. He got burnt so many times. I think he's awful. But I think for the Dolphins itself, I agree with your overall assessment, Jack. We didn't expect this. But I don't think they should kind of stunt what they're doing. I think they should keep at it. Like, you know, they've got potential to, you know, win games down the road. And with these picks, just continue what you're like. There's nothing that they should really steadfast or kind of keep short. With the whole Deshaun Watson trade, the NFL hasn't suspended Watson. I'm not going to go into that. I actually did some research on when I found out the whole three-team trade, like what the NFL is doing. But I think, again, that's such a touchy subject that I just don't know the full answers to. But if you get Deshaun Watson, right, like it'll steadfast your rebuild. And I think they have the pieces to where, you know, they could be a, you know, contender in the AFC, because think about it, you're going to have to deal with Josh Allen for a decade, right? And I don't want to go too fast, but you're going to have to deal with Josh Allen. Mac Jones has a high ceiling. So you want to have all the competition you can get. We don't know what Zach Wilson can be, right? With all this young talent around the AFC East, you want to have someone that can compete with that. So I would say, you know, for example, Deshaun Watson, go after him. But in terms of a rebuild, I'd say, you know, they've kind of been in one, and I think they should just keep going.
Yeah, I don't think I'd argue that they should hit the reset button. But I mean, I think coming into the year, if you asked 100 people, at least like 90% would say that the Dolphins are contenders. And we thought that their window was just opening. And I think what I'm kind of saying is, with what we've seen this year, what we've seen from Tua so far early in his career, I don't know if there's a contender window with Tua behind at the quarterback position. And I think that their window is definitely not open yet. And it's, you could argue, probably not going to open for another couple of years. Like, and even if you get Deshaun Watson, of course, elephant in the room, all the allegations around him, we don't know what's going to happen with that. But say it all gets wiped out, he's playing and the Dolphins trade for him. Is he really inheriting that great of a situation? Like, are the Dolphins even a quarterback away? I don't quite know about that. I mean, he's inheriting
with that O-line. I don't think
that's what I'm saying. Like, he's inheriting. Remember how bad his offensive line was in Houston? He's inheriting a worse offensive line in Miami. He's throwing the ball to Will Fuller, who he previously played with, of course, but there's no DeAndre Hopkins there. Like, of course, we think Jalen Waddle has the ceiling of one of those top wide receivers, but I'm saying, is it that much different than the Houston team he played with last year?
I would say, yeah, successful? I think it is much better, because I think you got a stable coaching staff, right? That at least the ownership has invested in. there hasn't been these whole lot of talks of Flores being on the hot seat, right? So, and he's been there, what, 2 years now?
They're 1-5 right now.
But I think you cannot give up after a 10-6 season. And, you know, there are these dry bumps in the road. We've seen it with Minnesota all the time. They'll have a good year and then they'll kind of hit this dry spell. I think this is just kind of one of those things. And I think for Deshaun Watson, you would be inheriting a much better team. I think the defense is much better. I like the receiving court a lot. I like Parker. I like Will Fuller, and I like Jalen Waddle. I like all three. I like Gesicki. Smythe is also really good. That offensive line needs a lot of help. But you know, with assets, right? You know, you still have draft capital. The thing is, Watson's value is steadily decreasing, and the Texans know this. Is I saw a comp. It was actually like the James Harden trade. Like the Rockets had to get rid of him. You know, you're gonna get stunted. You know, you're gonna kind of get the short end of the stick. But you gotta trade him. You gotta get something for him, right? And you know, for a guy who's gonna be under contract for the next 3 years, right, on $35 million for a quarterback of his caliber, that's actually not that bad. You've got some assets to go get an offensive line. I think this team would be better.
I mean, if those assets, like, first of all, I don't think the Texans need to trade Deshaun Watson, especially if, like, if the Dolphins are, like, thinking about trading for Watson because they believe he can play sooner rather than later, then the Texans don't have to trade him. Like,
but the thing, they kind of do, because if Watson's not going to play for him, the cap hit hits $35 million last year.
Exactly.
The Texans would not want to do that.
But we don't know if Deshaun Watson is not going to play. Like, we haven't really seen out of him in forever.
But the thing, he wants to play. He's signed off on Miami. He has.
Yeah.
He has signed off. So he hasn't signed off on Philly. That's why it was like Philly sent in a lawyer to like check out the whole allegations. They wanted him bad. Watson said no, and that's why it fell through. Watson has said yes to Miami. So a deal could get done.
If you pass on a trade deadline deal too in the offseason, who knows what his value is going to be?
Exactly.
Like, it's too much of a risk.
If I'm Houston, I think about it real hard because I don't want that cap hit, especially with the rebuild I got going on right now. I don't want to take $35 million, right? Because he's still under his contract. Remember, his extension kicks in next year. So if I'm Miami, right, again, you're getting a quarterback like this for 35, and I know 35 is a lot, but compared to guys who are like Lamar's probably going to get up north of 45. So you're getting a guy of that caliber for only 35. I'd really think about it. Like, this is a once in a lifetime type of, you know, player that is available at this time in his career. And again, I think it's a better situation, but in terms of a Dolphins perspective and what Jack was saying, I do agree with you. I think the window needs a little bit more time to open than we thought.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't want to focus on Deshaun Watson as a whole. I think just overall, coming out of this, it's just the Dolphins, they've definitely taken a step back. Like, their rebuild has hit a large roadblock. And yeah, I think it'll probably set them back 1 or 2 years at the least. And just with this whole Tua situation, if they do have to move on from Tua and they don't have a guy like Wilson, Rodgers, or Watson, you might think about the reset button. Because other than that, like, you've got Byron Jones and Xavier Howard, who aren't exactly like the youngest great pieces. Jalen Waddle, you hope can be, you know, what you drafted him to be. But other than that, they've missed on a lot of their draft picks.
Agreed.
And so
they have. Agreed.
They're not in, I think, overall, they're not in as good of a spot as we thought coming into the season at the end of last year and all that. So I think the Dolphins, maybe like Anish, you're saying, don't panic too much, but if it keeps going the way it is, you might have to think about it.
Yeah,
For sure. My takeaway, just staying in the AFC, we got to talk about that Chargers-Ravens game. Now, I'm not even going to focus on the offenses because Lamar didn't do, you know, Lamar things. We didn't see that 2021 version of Lamar. Instead, we got to pinpoint the defenses for both teams because I feel like the Chargers defense could be their downfall, while the Ravens defense could actually uplift them even further, which is terrifying for the rest of the NFL. Let's start with the Ravens. They held Los Angeles's receivers to 110 yards, which is really good considering, you know, what Mike Williams and Keenan Allen have done all year. If Lamar has an off game and the defense is able to do this and they're still able to win 34-6, we really have to look at the Ravens, you know, as a serious contender, because that is definitely scary. As for the Chargers, their run defense came into this game really bad and, you know, it got gashed. I'm pretty sure 187 yards from the Ravens backs, around 5 yards per carry. It was just awful for them on that day. And ultimately it's what sunk them. So if the Chargers run defense continues to look like this, in the playoffs where the run game is really important, you kind of have to question how far the Chargers are going to go, because the offense can only take them that far. Justin Herbert didn't have a great game. That run defense needs to step up. And the defense as well, the pass defense isn't, you know, terrible, but I'm really worried about that in January. But I think the defenses are going to tell the story of how each team does going into January. And I think it's what we really need to pinpoint going forward.
I think that Ravens Chargers game, it's so simple. The Chargers are so simple to break down, because here's why I think they lost. And it's so easy. It's the going for it on fourth down. You live and die by it. They went for it so many different times on their own side of the field, and they didn't get it. Against Cleveland, the reason why they came back, the drive where they were down 27-13, you know how many times they went for it on fourth down? Three, and they got it all three times. You live and die by it. And Brandon Staley, who's a rookie head coach, is learning. He's learning that. I think that's why the Chargers kind of lost. That's why, you know, on the stat sheet, they don't look as good. And that's why the Ravens were able to run the ball and kind of put this game out of reach. People are so shocked, right? How did the Ravens do it? How did they beat such a great team? I'm telling you, it just came down to fourth down. You turnover on downs is such a third and fourth down is the one of the biggest things in NFL games. And the Chargers, right, are a team that have been living on thin ice with it. And I don't know if I might have mentioned this, but I either in the chat or in, after I broke down the Browns-Chargers game. But I said the Chargers, you know, the fourth down was their key. That's how they came back. They're going to live and die by it. This was an example of them just falling short. And for the Ravens, again, I'm going to credit Lamar on this. You know, I'm not like – he's a rival. I don't – you know, it really pains me.
Luckiest player in the NFL.
But – I love to say that, but you know, I'm objective, and here's my thing. To do this with all the injuries that have piled up for the Ravens, as, you know, the Browns have a lot, but the Ravens have had them kind of going into the year. For him to do what he's been able to do has just been sensational. For the Ravens running attack to still do this, right? Ronnie Stanley, I know he's out for the year, but he only played 68 snaps anyway in the first 6 weeks, so he wasn't really there. You know, again, remember when Marshall Yanda retired? I think it was last year, you know, we were like, oh, how is he going to do? I don't know where this narrative that people said that teams were going to figure out Lamar Jackson. I don't know who said this, but I guess someone did. I don't know where this came from, but he has been phenomenal. I think the whole thing for the Chargers is like, yes, their run defense is bad, but they put themselves in the position to where they could get gashed. Like, so I think that's why that particular game they look bad. But I also think the Chargers are still a year away. Like, you know, they're still learning. They're learning as things go on. You know, they have so many young pieces, and I just don't see them really beating the AFC's elite yet. I think they're going to be amongst that, right? Which is why, like, for example, I thought Staley would be coach of the year, and I thought they would be kind of like the Browns last year. They kind of emerged themselves in this conversation. But in terms of the Chargers-Ravens game, I think the Ravens defense, again, it's been up and down. Jack and I were talking about the Colts game the other day, right? Like, you know, I think it's an up and down unit. And if they can find that consistently, like you said, Shrikar, the Ravens are very scary. As they are, I think they are a top two team in the AFC. But that was my takeaway from the Chargers Ravens game.
And you talk about Lamar being figured out. We gotta tip our cap to Greg Roman. I mean, yeah, you said in the chat, that. But he might be the best offense coordinator in the NFL right now. You know, he's made the offense a lot more complex. He's went away from that, you know, pistol formation that he ran so often in 2020, 2019, and it's been working out for Lamar Jackson. It's definitely led to his growth as a passer.
A lot more shotgun. I'm liking it. Mm-hmm. Jackie, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with basically everything that both you guys said. I would argue, though, that Brandon Staley, he's not learning. He definitely knew. He knows coming in that fourth downs are a very volatile approach. Like, if you're going for it that often, you know that you're going to win or you're going to lose on it. And that's the same thing that Sean McDermott said the other day after the Buffalo game. Like, you're going to trust your guys to go out there. If they make the play, great. If they don't, then you lose it. And then you have to be okay with that. And I guarantee you that Staley and the rest of the Chargers staff, they look through all the possibilities of what would happen on certain plays. And they understand, like, if they don't get it, they're fine with that, because they know that more often than not, they can be successful on fourth down.
Agreed.
And more often than not, that's going to lead them to wins. And both of these teams, the Ravens and the Chargers, are built on very volatile approaches. I mean, the way that the Ravens play defense is inherently volatile itself by blitzing that much. And so there's games where it really works out. Look at them only allowing, 6 points to Herbert and the Chargers. And then you just go back 1 week and they weren't as good until they kind of tightened it up at the end. And that's why I don't think that this score is reflective of these two teams. I don't think the Ravens are, you know, that great that they're going to beat the other AFC best by 28 points. And I don't think the Chargers are this bad where they're going to lose by that much. But I think that it just happened to be the Chargers' approach didn't work out. Well, the Ravens, it really did. And it kind of all culminated on that one day. And it seemed like it was kind of that way around the entire NFL. I mean, we saw more blowouts in this last week than we had seen the entire season. And it's kind of crazy, but I do agree with you, Shikhar. The Ravens defense was the reason that the Ravens won that game. And it's funny because you can look back to other games and say the Ravens defense is the reason that they, you know, maybe let the other team stick around too long or even lost the game. But I think it is really interesting to look at the approaches of these teams and the way they're putting themselves out there to the point where they're saying, we're going to do this. And we really think that we can do it to win the game. And if it fails, then we're going to completely crumble as a team. And it's a decent approach. I mean, it really is, because more often than not, if you have the players, they can make the plays. And if they don't, you have to live with that. And you're starting to see that kind of around the NFL, these two teams, and you can point to a lot of other ones, including the fourth down decision for Buffalo the other day. So it's really fascinating, in my opinion.
Yeah. For sure. Ironically, like for the fourth down decision, I said, like, you know, it's going to win you more games than it'll cost you. But my takeaway is kind of, it's, I remember Jack kind of saying this earlier, but my, like, it's a little bit more, you know, specific. I don't think there is a clear cut number one team in either conference. Like, you know, I feel like if we asked each other right now, if I were to ask you, who do you think is the number one team in the AFC? And if I were to ask you, who is the number one team in the NFC? I think we would all have different answers. And that's kind of my biggest takeaway after seeing last week. I just don't, like, for example, the Chargers-Ravens game, right? The Bills-Titans, for example, there's no team where I can really say, and I remember we talked about this, right? Like, every week, there's no guarantees in the NFL. And I think there's no favorite. Like, last year, I think we were all kind of aware that the Chiefs were the prohibitive favorite in the AFC, right? Like, for example. And even in the NFC, we were kind of, we had a really good picture, right? We knew, you know, guys like the Saints and the Bucks would be up there, right? But right now, I honestly don't know who's going to represent the NFC and AFC in the championship games, let even alone the divisional round. I think there's so many teams out there that, you know, could beat each other up, right? Surprise upsets. I think there's, you know, teams on the rise, there are teams on the fall, right? And again, teams that can make a push late. There's so many wild cards right now. And I think, what are we in? Going into week 7, which is crazy already. I can't believe it's been that far. But I think that's, you know, that's my biggest takeaway. I don't have a consensus number one team in either conference. Even right now, I don't even have a consensus on who's the best quarterback in the NFL right now. I really don't know.
I think it's a fun exercise, like, to figure out NFC number one team right now, AFC number one team right now.
Okay.
NFC.
Yeah, you want to?
NFC. I'm saying the Bucks. I'm saying the Rams. Because when the Bucks are fully healthy, they're my team to win. I think they're my Super Bowl pick in January.
No, that's.
Well, see, but there's that, the thing. Like, there's the if, right? So, like, there's no consensus right now. That's.
Then if we were talking right now, I would say the Rams. Yeah, I would also say the Rams.
And funny, but in January. How we all leave off the only undefeated team in the NFL,
which is Arizona. And I feel like a lot of people could say, no, Arizona just beat the brakes off them. And Kyler clearly outplayed Stafford, right?
Yeah.
But we're still saying LA. So,
but you know, even then, Arizona got off to a hot start last year and then injuries just ravaged them. So I'm not saying it's going to happen again.
There's always this riddling.
So we don't know. I think, exactly. Yeah. We're not going to know.
But I mean, well, I think the Cardinals are a different team than last year. We can get into that. That's a whole nother segment with their whole loaded core offensively, which I have just been an absolute awe of. But yeah, I think that's, you know, I think that's a huge portion of, you know, when the season kind of riles up, right? Like, is Tom Brady really going to be the prohibitive favorite like we thought? We thought the Bucks were going to come in, right? They had a pretty favorable schedule to them. We thought that they were going to kind of just steamroll and be the, like, you know, everyone's number one team, at least in the NFC, going into the playoffs. That has not been the case. I don't know if, you know, would I take the Cardinals over them right now? Maybe. Like, you know, I think they would put up a really good fight. The Rams, too. They just beat them. So there's so many wild cards on both sides of the conference. The Chiefs, we all know, right? You know, they're 3 losses. Again, Mahomes, we actually did like a quick top 15 rankings of quarterbacks right now. And I put Mahomes at 10. I put him at 10.
I put him a little higher, but
yeah. So I put him 9 or 10. I don't remember. One of the two, right? But like, that's just an example, right? Like, he hasn't been playing, you know, this insane, like, not getting figured out. I don't like this term figuring out.
Yeah, definitely.
But he's definitely, you know, how I say this, right? Again, live and die, this whole concept. he's dying a little bit more than he's living on his, you know, crazy throws. And, you know, there are guys that have elevated their games a little bit faster than we thought. And there are some guys that have kind of dipped that, you know, we expected to be up there. So there's just, it's a long season. I think that's, you know, kind of how it goes. And, you know, there are these teams, I'm just saying, Indy and Minnesota, I think they can make a late playoff push. We never know, but
I put it in the chat, right after the Bills and Titans game. But basically I kind of said, I don't remember exactly what I said, but I kind of said something along the lines, like, I crown Kings a little bit too quickly, and it can be really misleading when you ask who is the best team this early. Like, I don't think
had Buffalo, right? And then what happened?
Yep. And then they lose.
I would argue Buffalo is the best.
On, like,
I think Baltimore is the best in the AFC. I think Baltimore and Buffalo are still top two. But my main point is that I don't think we're going to get a clear picture of who is the best in each conference until at least late November, early December.
And we don't need to. That's the point. Like, there's no.
We don't need to. I don't think we need to, because
there's no reason to crown a team right now.
Mm-hmm. We don't need to. Exactly.
I for college football, like, you know how the preseason rankings come out a couple of weeks before the season. I'm under the belief that rankings should not start until, like, at least midway through the season. I know that, you know, the media conglomerates do it so they can get the eyes on the articles and they can get teams excited and put the rankings up. But, like, really, you have no idea until you see the team on the field for a substantial period of time.
Yeah, example, UNC. I remember that one. That was
exactly. UNC. And even with QBs, people were so quick to just overhype Spencer Rattler. I mean, he has talent, but he's just not been that guy.
Yeah, even in the NFL, right? I think people kind of, you know, wrote off Derek Carr, right? With this, you know, banged up O-line, right? They didn't expect much. I didn't expect much of him.
And now he's playing like a top 10 quarterback in football
right now.
Well, but
also, I mean, after 2 weeks, everyone was saying the Raiders, oh, you know, maybe they could run at the division. And now, look.
That's why I think the NFL, out of all the four major sports, has the biggest narrative changes week to week.
It's the biggest overreacting fan base as well.
100%.
I mean, why? After week one, everyone wrote off the Titans.
Has its own weightage on the entire season. Every single week matters. 1 week can change the narrative or the course of a season for an entire team. Like, that's crazy to me, right?
And
like,
it's unpredictability. It's just what makes it the most, like, the best sport, in my opinion.
Yep.
No, it's so unpredictable.
I totally agree. Speaking of unpredictability, let's try to beat unpredictability, get into our week 7 game picks. Like I mentioned about every single week, I'm sure you're sick of it. Go follow the Instagram down in the description. You can vote on our Instagram story polls for who you think is going to win. After last week, you guys are still up one game. I believe you guys have 60 wins on the season, which is pretty good. And we're all tied down there at 59. But again, like I mentioned last week, don't get too comfortable up there. We're coming.
We are.
But to start it off, our first game of the week, it's not the prettiest game, and it brings up the Dolphins, a team that we talked about pretty extensively in this episode, but they're taking on the Falcons. Anish, who do you think is going to win that one?
All right, so for this game, it's ironic because we just talked about Miami, and I've, you know, defended them a lot, but I'm going to go with Atlanta here. They're coming off a bye week. I think they've been playing pretty well, actually. They won, you know, they've got 2 wins on their kind of resume, and Matt Ryan's been all right. Kyle Pitts finally showed out, so I'm expecting the battle of the tight ends on National Tight End Day. So, you know, hopefully Pitts versus Gesicki will be drawing some attention. Obviously, there's a lot of fantasy stake in this game, but I'm going with the Falcons.
Just don't watch this game, man. Just
what? You said this about the Jets Falcons. It was a good game.
Yeah,
it was a good game because it was 2 bad teams.
No,
if you want to watch bad football and see
a good football,
if you want to watch bad football and watch a close game between 2 bad teams with a lot of mistakes, go ahead, be my guest. You don't have to listen to me, but I'm not watching this game. If it's on, I'm turning the channel. With that said, I'm taking the Falcons. It's like the exact, they're coming off a bye. Matt Ryan has been decent. Actually more than decent. He's been pretty good. I got to go with Atlanta here. Miami's dreadful. They're just awful. So got to go with the Falcons.
I really hope Matt Ryan has a good game. I had to pick him up in fantasy because with all the buys that are going on this week, fantasy lineups are just going to be absolutely
decimated.
It's
fantasy relevant teams too. It's not even like it's fantasy relevant teams that are on.
No, I know. So I had Herbert and I tried to pick up Burrow off the waiver wire, didn't have the waiver priority. So going with Matt Ryan, I think this is a game where you see Calvin Ridley kind of like breakout this season. He's had some good games, but not really to his standards. And he hasn't really had that blow up game. I'm hoping it comes here. I think that coming off of whatever personal issue he had, he gets the bye week, gets some time. I think they come back with a really solid offensive approach. I do have them winning against Miami in this one. I do think it's going to be a close game. I think Miami will put up a fight, but kind of ultimately, like a lot of their games this season, it'll kind of just late the other team will just kind of start to pull away. I mean, they should have beat Jacksonville last week for sure.
But they did not. And I called it. I called it at 3 a.m. I called it. Sorry, I just had to. I had to flex that. It was so great.
I wasn't going to say this, but now to reply to Shrigar, if you want to watch bad football, go watch the Cal Bears play. That's some bad football.
Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong. Like,
I'm not wrong.
Watch Syracuse football.
Next game, one of the better games of the week, actually. Chiefs and Titans. There's got this, like, the weird aura around the game. Like, I'll go first, I guess, to kind of spare you guys a little bit. I've picked the Chiefs, I believe, every week. I don't think I've picked them to lose, and yet they're 3-3. And as much as I want to keep just, you know, rolling out the pick saying, it's Mahomes, it's the Chiefs, it's going to happen. And as much as I think that, like, the Titans could be a good matchup for the Chiefs offense, the fact that the Chiefs have the statistically worst run defense in the NFL and going up against Derrick Henry, it could really haunt them. And especially because the way you beat Mahomes and those kind of quarterbacks is by keeping them off the field. If Derrick Henry can convert, you know, run 5 yards or more a carry, convert first downs and touchdowns, and he keeps Mahomes off the field, that could be trouble for the Chiefs. So I'm actually going to go with Tennessee in this one. I think it's going to be a really high scoring game. Like, I think it'll be even more of a shootout than last week's Buffalo and Tennessee game. And I'm going to go with the Titans. I don't really feel good about picking either of these teams just because whenever you pick against the Chiefs, it's hard to do, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going Tennessee.
A really good game. Who are we going to see any punts? Like, that's my first question. Is there going to be any punting?
Of course, now that we've said this, it's going to be a complete defensive
game. Like a defensive game, but
Cole Archer,
look, it's whether you believe in Tennessee's ground game or Kansas City's air game. And Kansas City has turned the ball over a lot. And I'm kind of betting on Derrick Henry here. So I'm also going to go with Tennessee against this Kansas City run defense, because I feel like Mahomes, it's Mahomes, but also he's been turning the ball over. And really, it's just going to come down to that. So I'm going to go with Tennessee.
Darn. Okay. This one's a tough one, you know, because I've always been a very, very, you know, avid supporter of the Titans, obviously Tannehill, obviously Derrick Henry. This one's a tough one. I, you know, lost to Taylor Lewan, right? And I think, you know, that might cost him a little bit. And I think, you know, after that first half, the Chiefs really turned it on. And I think they need a game to where they say, hey, you guys forgot about us. And I think this is the game. I think the Titans are riding a little bit high. I think it's a short week. And I'm glad you guys went with Tennessee, because we know the last time you two picked against the Chiefs and I did not. We know what happened. I'm going with the Chiefs. I'm going with my home boy. It is back. I'm going with the Chiefs. Hopefully I don't eat crow on this one, but yeah, I think the Chiefs bounce back and I think they make a statement.
I'm regretting my pick already.
Too late.
No, I'll stick with Tennessee. I don't want to second guess myself, but just you bringing up the turnovers part, like, is that something that we can say is going to be consistent? Like,
it's been consistent. That's the thing.
It has been consistent, but like, I feel like there's going to be a week where they don't turn the ball over and they're going to murder somebody. Like, they're
very hard to bet against this team.
Right now,
Farley's out for the year.
I don't think I've picked against Kansas City yet.
I'm just picking them winning by like, or picturing them winning by 14 plus. Good sign.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't know. It definitely could. Like, I feel like
it could, but I don't think it'll happen.
We're just waiting for the week where they turn it on and someone's going to get screwed. And I guess not.
I've yet
not
to be them to, this week to
probably
Anisha's
makes
point,
the most sense. It happens this
to week. Anisha's point last week against Washington. That second half, they did turn it on.
They did. Yeah.
That looked like the 2020, 2019.
That's
Chiefs.
What I'm saying. I think this is, again, I think the Titans riding a little bit high. And my reasoning is I think they need a statement win. And I think this is a big one to do it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's tough. It's a real toss up.
I'm staying with Tennessee.
I'm interested to see where the fans kind of lean on this.
Yeah,
one.
I think fans will lean Kansas City.
We'll see. Okay. The next game is possibly the biggest game of the week. I would argue it's probably the biggest game of the week. It involves the Ravens again. They're taking on AFC North rival Cincinnati Bengals. Anish, wait, time out.
Can we please put the clip?
Put the clip.
First episode, please.
Strap game.
Very first episode.
I will go back and I will find it for you, and I will throw it in there.
Ryan Finley. Yeah,
OG fans remember that.
Ryan Finley.
The OGs remember.
He picked Ryan Finley to beat Lamar Jackson.
That's when picks mattered us a little bit less.
And they lost 49-13.
That's what kind of started. That's what kind of started everything. If you really, that was our first episode. Like, that's insane. That's awesome.
The tables have turned, and now we're talking about this game. That's a full circle moment. As a legit matchup, it's not one that we just rolled over. Oh my God, how things can change. I'm sorry. That's just so awesome. Like,
no, put in the clip. We got it's
I'll go. He's going
first. We're making him go first.
Okay. I already have my pick set. As Jackson, it's the best game of the week, in my opinion, because if the Bengals win this game, I'd really consider them as a playoff team.
Oh, please do. Yeah.
But if the Ravens win, I feel like, you know, they're heading right for a division title. You know what? I'm going to pick the Bengals.
Yes. To lose. I was gonna say to lose. Yes.
To lose.
You're
to
so
lose.
Gullible.
Yes. To lose.
Yes.
To lose.
Yes.
To lose.
Oh.
To lose.
You're so gullible.
Oh, I said that like
darn it.
I'm picking the Ravens. I can't bet against Lamar right now. Darn I can't it. Bet against this Ravens team. And honestly, Joe Burrow going into Cincinnati, going into Baltimore. Tough crowd to play in front of. I think Baltimore is definitely going to be motivated coming off that Chargers win. Are they too emotionally high? I don't think so. I think they can handle the Bengals. I'm going to go with Cincinnati. Baltimore here.
Jack?
Yeah, the Ravens have done me dirty too many times this year to pick against them. I picked against them in all three of their marquee matchups against the Chiefs, the Chargers, and there was one more game. I'm totally forgetting. But I'm going to go with the Ravens here. Early in the season, I was kind of really questioning whether the Ravens could compete. Like, I thought that they were one of the dark horse candidates to miss out on the playoffs. But they've really turned it around after the first couple of weeks and those big emotional victories. They've started to look a lot more like the Ravens. Mark Andrews has been balling. Marquise Brown looks like a legitimate threat, which is opening up the running game. Greg Roman's done a great job. And if this defense can play at least close to how they did last week, they are a very hard team to beat. And as much as the Bengals have, you know, come on strong this season, made some great plays, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, they're clicking. I just don't think they're good enough to beat the Ravens quite yet. And if they do, we really got to start talking about this team. As a playoff team, I'd argue they're a playoff team right now. And I probably rest the season.
Still young, but we'll see.
They're still young, but not sure. Like, are they worse than the Colts or
Yes, they are. No.
Interesting question.
But I'm going to go with the Ravens. If the Bengals, I think the Bengals put up a fight, and if they come up with a win, I'll be really impressed.
Oh, and real quick, I mentioned they're a young team, but shout out to them for handling an actual trap game last week. For a young team, that is a tough spot. And they handled it.
I was
like, they manhandled Detroit. I thought Detroit would be in it the whole way, but they're for real, man. It looks like they're for real.
So where are all the Zach Taylor haters? They've been pretty quiet. But okay, this one's I really wish you picked Cincy. I'm going with Baltimore. Joe Burrow's only played him once. Keep in mind, he didn't play him the season ender. So, you know, he's still kind of inexperienced with them. The Ravens are also inexperienced with Joe Burrow. So, you know, and I also think, again, the Ravens defense is inconsistent. And this is a game that, you know, they could easily lose because they've been riding very high, right? You know, they've won five straight, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, this could be a game where the Bengals say, hey, we're just going to come in here and, you know, shock the world. But like you guys said, if they do, we're going to have to really consider them as, you know, maybe a team that just really accelerated this rebuild. And Joe Burrow, if he outduels Lamar Jackson, I'm going to consider him in my top 10. I think this guy is phenomenal.
I'd put him in my top 10.
I've been saying this ever since that Browns game last year. He's been phenomenal. Every time I watch him, he's just, you know, he's converting play after play. But I got Baltimore here. It's kind of similar to the Packers game. I think they're there, but they got to have these as learning experiences. So I've got Baltimore.
I feel like you could argue that Joe Burrow has probably been like the most underappreciated and underrepresented player of the season.
100%.
Like, it's like everyone already forgets he was the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And he's been the driving force behind
Herbert
this whole team.
As like this whole poster boy number one pick. You're forgetting the guy that was
literally Burrow
for a reason.
Yeah.
And I think if they did a redraft, I don't know. If I'm Cincinnati, I still might take Burrow.
Okay, yeah, I disagree with you there, but I guess maybe they would, knowing they'd take Ja'Marr Chase, because like obviously that chemistry has just proven to be
it's awesome,
a thing of beauty.
So I think, I don't know if we put this in the takeaways, but I said Ja'Marr Chase is he's that dude. I think he's the top three deep threat in football right now.
It's crazy what they've been able to do. I still think Herbert is better, but Joe Burrow is, put some respect on his name so far, and I think we need to start appreciating the things he has done this season more than we have. The next game, Eagles, Raiders, less of a glamorous matchup, but Anish, you want to start us off? Who you got winning this one?
I got LV. It's at LV, I believe. So I got the Raiders. Philly, again, they've been up and down, right? You know, one week you think, okay, you know, maybe they'll put up a fight against a team like Dallas and they get blown out. And then another week you think, okay, the Carolina Panthers are going to win by more than 3 points, and they don't. So, you know, up and down team, but I think the Raiders have been playing really hot, and I think this team has rallied behind each other, right? Again, we said this, remember the Raiders Broncos game, they're either going to come out flat or they're going to rally behind themselves without this coach and go crazy. And that's exactly what they did, which hurt us all in picks. But I think they're going to do the same thing here, ride a little bit hot. Derek Carr's been playing phenomenal. Again, top 10 level quarterback right now. So yeah, I got the Raiders.
It's tough to go against the Raiders, but here's the thing. They are coming off emotionally their highest point of the season. And you are going against the Eagles team that, as you said, is up and down. And think about it this way. The Eagles are going to have a good amount of fans in Vegas. They travel really well. So that's for one. They have 10 days rest, which is another thing. They have extra rest. I'm going to take Philly in this game. It may come off as a shocker, but I really think they can pull it off. I think the Raiders are going to come, you know, a little bit down emotionally after, you know, as I said, their highest point of the season. And I could really see Philly winning this game. So I'm going to go with the Eagles here.
Cool.
I think like of all the games this week, this is the one where like if you really wanted to, you know, make your mark and pick an upset, this might be the best opportunity, since the slate this week is not a very impressive slate. There's a lot of games that, while we say every week there's no guarantees, this is kind of the week you're coming about as close as you can. But this game, I'm still going to go with the Raiders. The Eagles have, I think, a decent foundation, but really, I think Nick Sirianni, I said it all offseason, if you're hiring a head coach who has never even previously been a play caller, there's problems there, and he's proven this season. I just don't think he knows what he's doing behind the play sheet.
Miles
Sanders is barely touching the ball. Like, they're just not getting the ball in their players' hands, like the ones that you wanted in. Quez Watkins is honestly getting more attention than Devontae Smith. It's tough. I don't believe right now in the Eagles. I don't believe in Nick Sirianni. I feel like they're a team that could really start to take a nosedive towards the end of this season. I'm going with the Raiders. I'll admit Philly has a chance, but right now I'm going with LV.
Okay, hold up. I'm going to defend Sirianni really quick, because again, I did a video on him with Devontae Smith. I'm going to defend him. He's learning. You're right. He hasn't been a play caller.
Is he learning though? That's the thing. Like, they've again, lost so many games because they can't run the ball, and okay, he's still not trying.
At least Sanders is increasing his percentage of snap count per game on a per game basis. I mean, he's learning to use him a little bit more. They look pretty well. They look pretty good in that fourth quarter against Tampa Bay. They did, right? They almost pulled off the comeback. I think they fought to the end. That's why, again, you can't do a one and done with Sirianni, especially because he's had two good wins under his belt. He does. He has two good wins, right? At Carolina is pretty impressive. And then Atlanta, the week opener, was really good. I think you got to give him time. And I'm glad they're saying he's not a one and done coach. That's all I'm going to say on Sirianni.
I don't know. I like, at some point you can't be looking at a running back one who was a second round pick, his snap count increasing, and saying, oh, that's a big win. Because if you draft a running back in the second round and he's as talented as we all think he should be on the field consistently at the start of the season.
He should be used.
Snap count does not mean usage. Like, that's something that it definitely have to look at. But our next game is a big game, a primetime game. Shrigar's eyes will definitely be on it. Colts, 49ers. Shrigar, you got your boys pulling it out?
Bengals-Ravens was, like, the best game of the week. But this is the toughest pick of the week for me, because I could easily see the Colts coming into Levi's winning this game. Carson Wentz has done it before. Oh, geez. And it's a huge game, because whoever loses this game, I'd consider them out of the playoff race this early. I mean, I know we can't say that, but it's not looking very good for whoever loses. But whoever wins gets, you know, this sudden bolt of energy. The Colts could just keep rolling because they have a softer schedule the rest of the way. The Niners could potentially pick it back up with Jimmy G. I'm going to take the team at home. I'm going to take the Niners, but oh man, my gut is just somehow just telling me this is going to be a Colts win, and I'm just going completely against it right now.
Anish, I think we can both roll out the same pick here.
Yeah, I know you're taking.
You know what Carson Wentz is going to
do? You know
do?
Who we're taking. Wait,
he's going to walk
go
it
first?
To
I'll give my
the San Francisco
after.
49ers.
Wait, what?
I'm going with Indy.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay. Can I give my reasoning for who
yes,
I'm going with?
You may give your reasoning.
This is a very tough game. You know, two teams that
– It's not you know, tough for him at all.
They played pretty well in some games. But look, week four last year, I was told that the Niners were just coming off a Super Bowl. This guy who was 0-2-1.
That was Nick Mullins at quarterback.
What did he do? Carson, walk it to him, Wentz. The nickname is back. Wait, actually, wait, no. Not yet.
Anish, he was going against Nick Mullins.
Does not matter. I got – no, it was against Garoppolo.
No, it was Mullins. Week four Eagles?
Oh, yes.
Jimmy Garoppolo is playing just about, like, the worst quarterback in football this year, so it's not
right,
like –
You're right, you're right, you're right, yeah, you're right, you're right. You're right. You're right, my bad. But doesn't matter. I got the Colts. I got the Colts. Look, sucks that Julian Blackman – tore his Achilles. That's so dumb.
Yeah, like, I hate that.
So many injuries on the teams that I like. Why? Why me? Can you throw the injury bug on Baltimore, please? Oh, they already have. Wait,
they already got
don't
it.
Don't wish injuries upon anyone, but just do it on someone else but me. But yeah, you know, I got the Colts here. I think they're riding high, and I think they've got momentum. They've picked it up. Finally, they're getting some health. I know.
Also,
you know,
Niners coming off a bye week, so who knows?
I know they. Yeah, so that's a tough. That's why I actually marked this as an L for them coming into the year. But I think it's changed because I think, again, the Niners, the inconsistency at quarterback, the Colts coming off a really good win. I know it was against Houston, but they did what they needed to do, and both sides of the ball, they look tremendous. I think they come in and get a good win and a statement win for them at least, because then people will say, and it's Sunday night, so people will finally get to see what I've been trying to tell people about, at least, you know, Carson.
Well, we saw him against the Ravens.
And he looked really good. Yeah, so really good. I think if he gets another win, or if he gets a win like this, again, two in a row, keep it going, right? Again, like you said, light schedule. I think the Colts are kind of looking at this, and they're not, and this is a team that does not look past their games. They take every week at a time. That's what Frank Reich emphasizes. So I got the Colts here, but it's going to be a tough game. And I think it could go either way, as you said, because I think Jimmy G would give him a way better chance to win than a guy who's young in a primetime game in Trey Lance. I got the Colts.
Sugar, you already know Anish was always picking Wentz.
I knew.
And so it's like, normally we come in like, okay, here's why Indy could win. Here's why San Francisco could win. You know,
he just has
one outweighs a little bit more. He goes like this. He goes, all right.
No. Okay. Hold on.
Gonna win. Here's why the Niners could win. What can I think?
6-6 on Colts picks. I'm the only one here that's 6-6 on Colts pick because you guys took Miami. So I think I'm about to be 7-7.
I hope so. I'm taking Indy too. The last game of the week. Again, not a great matchup. Would be a lot better if Russell Wilson was playing, but it's New Orleans Saints versus Seattle Seahawks. I'm going with the Saints. Again, Geno can prove me wrong if he wants. But again, like right now, you cannot pick Geno Smith to win a football game. As much as it might be like a trendy upset pick, I just can't do it. I'm going with the New Orleans Saints. Maybe the Seahawks win if the Jameis coaster hits rock bottom, but I'm going with the New Orleans Saints to win in a primetime matchup.
I'm so happy I get to see Geno Smith in primetime again. This is going to be very fun. And he's going against
primetime games for Seattle. Three straight.
Yeah.
Thursday, right? Thursday night, Sunday night, and now Monday night.
Yeah.
Damn, we got Geno Smith in all three. Really?
Yeah, I mean, and he's going against Jameis Winston, so even better, but I'm also going to go with the Saints here, but it's just not a good game, especially not a great quarterback matchup.
This is in Seattle. Do it. I dare you.
Yeah, do it. Do it.
I'm kidding. I'm going to go with the Saints, but I think this is going to be a lot closer than people think. And I actually think it's going to be a good game. I actually do. Again, Geno Smith's been played up to his competition every game so far. So,
maybe because primetime games have always just like, they're really good.
You never know. And I think, but one guy that has to get involved, and I know this is not biased because I have him on my fantasy team, but you have to get Tyler Lockett involved. He is the guy that makes differences. Again, two catches for 35 is not going to cut it. And maybe this just proves why, you know, how, again, another takeaway I had was Russell Wilson is a top three valuable player to their team. But, you know,
got to get Tyler Lockett involved. That would be the key. If he has a good game, I think they win. But again, I'm going to go with the Saints. And as much as we're kind of, you know, riding this Jameis coaster, if they win this game, they're 4-2. So, you know, they've got a real shot at the playoffs.
That's true. I think this one's going to be an extra low scoring game, just like last week, the Pittsburgh-Seattle game. I feel like it's going to be an ugly matchup. My guess is neither team comes away from the game really deserving a win. Like, neither team's going to win it. I think just
I'm excited. Lattimore, DK. I'm excited for that matchup.
That one's good. I think the Saints have to get Alvin Kamara going. Like, we have not really had like a real standout Alvin Kamara game this year. And maybe this is a game he gets going. I think there's a lot of running the football that's going to be involved. It's going to be an ugly game, but I think Saints come away with it. Anyways, thank you guys.
One more point. Saints fans, it's going to get better. Mike Thomas is coming back soon. I think that could be really good for them. We haven't talked about the Saints a lot. I just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Saints have been one of the teams, like, I feel like they're just kind of one of the more under the radar teams this year. They've been pretty boring.
Yeah. We talked about them a lot in the offseason. So that's, I guess, true. It's just compensation. Yeah,
exactly. I think it's
they're just less polarizing right now. They've done what they
expected them to do. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways, make sure to go down to our Instagram and vote for all of these. The story polls will be up on Friday, probably around till about Saturday morning. So make sure you go vote on those to get your stamp on the picks for this week. Also, while you're down there, you can check out our website. Go follow the Twitter. Streetcards will be live tweeting a lot of the games. And we got Twitter content throughout the entire week. If you're on YouTube, please consider leaving a like, hitting the subscribe button, and leaving a comment as always. But thank you guys so much for listening. We've been the Cold Hard Truth Podcast, and we will see you next time.